Before we jump in, before I show a video real quick to you to kind of help set the tone and stage for us, let me kind of walk through where we've been. We've been in this series called Bold Expectation. We only have 2 weeks left, and we're going to jump right back into the book of Luke. Now, here's been the prayer that we can begin to prayerfully pray, and prayerfully pray, it's kind of two things, right? But that we can continue and begin to pray that the Lord would do some great and mighty and wonderful things bearing fruit for his kingdom through the people of Central Christian Church. And as we think about that, as we pray about that, we recognize that's a work that God has to do. And so we've been talking through what that looks like, that we need to continue to pursue knowing the Lord, that we need to be abiding in the vine of Jesus Christ so that he can bear that fruit through prayer and through abiding in his truth, that we need to be the people of God in fellowship, a holy, set apart people, not common like everybody else. And this week, we get to talk about what it looks like for us to be a going people. And so with that in mind, I want to point your attention to the screen. Watch this video that can kind of help set the stage for us as we jump into this topic of going.
Go, therefore, and make disciples. You've probably heard sermons on this, or you've listened to podcasts, or you've seen videos. You've probably been told that it isn't necessarily a call for all of us to go doing things like moving to India, although we certainly support those who do that and make that sacrifice. You may have been told that it simply means that you, as you go, be prepared to tell if someone asks about the gospel or be about justice and mercy as you go about your lives. All of this is true to an extent, but what does it actually look like to go? What should it actually look like to go? Is it for all of us, or is it just for the evangelist? Is it just for the pastor? I think in all of this nuance, we can miss the point. The point that going takes leaving something. It takes intention. It takes a goal. It takes a passion. You know, if the church took out the go 1,000 years ago, would we even be here today? See, I don't think so. The better question is, if we insert the go back into the church today, what might we see him do? But will we? Can we? Where do we go? Are we even equipped to go? Making disciples, sharing the good news, taking the kingdom, all of these things are a calling that we should be pressed into as God's people.
Church, if you would, go ahead and stand with me. Gary, if you would come on up. Gary Stamps, one of our elders, is going to read for us our text for today, which is Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. Gary, I'll pass it off to you.
Morning. Colossians 1, 9 through 14. And so from the day we heard, we've not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He's delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we've redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1, 9-14. Please be seated.
Thank you, Gary. Father, we thank you for this morning. As we've already said, we're so grateful to be able to be in this place, gathered together among brothers and sisters, among those who are looking to you and seeking after you. And Father, now we turn to your word. And I want to pray, Lord, that you would stir in our hearts, very much like we talked about a few weeks ago, and we're going to talk about today. We'd stir in our hearts a passion and desire to the good works that you've called us to. Father, I want to pray that this would be an encouragement and a challenge to each and every single person in this room to step into the kind of walk and the kind of life that pleases your heart, no matter how hard that might be for us. And so, Father, pray that you would use this broken vessel this morning to speak your word, that you would help the eyes of our hearts and the ears of our hearts to be open to what you would have for us today. And so, Father, we give you this time. We ask for your favor this morning, and we pray all these things in your name. Amen. So, I'll be honest, this has been a sermon that I've been looking forward to for a while. If you don't know my history, my first ministry work was actually as a missions pastor. And so the idea of going was something that I have loved and been passionate about really for most of my Christian life and walk with the Lord. In fact, I really came to know the Lord on the mission field in the Dominican Republic. And so this is an exciting thing for me. And you might be going, why in the world isn't Darren reading out of Matthew 28 that says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Because man, like, that's the missions text, right? Like, that's the going text. And I guess as I think about that, part of the reason why I chose not to do that and go to that was because of partially our familiarity with that text. A lot of times if you've been around the church, like, I'm guessing you've heard that text. And while it's all there and while there's a ton there in regards to our challenge to go, I think there's a couple of very unique things that happen to us or that can happen to us as the church when we anchor this idea of going into Matthew 28 and Matthew 28 alone. I think one of the first things that can happen to us is that it's easy for us because it has become the go-to missions verse, if you will, that's on the missions walls of our churches because it's that. One of the first things that can happen is that we can begin to define going as a work for evangelists and missionaries, not for everybody, right? Like, we can even hear that text and we can hear, like, well, Jesus is talking to the apostles, the 11 apostles, and they all went out into the world and proclaimed the gospel. They were faithful to go. And so that's really not for me. That's for the missionaries. And we see it. I mean, every missionary that's ever gone and been called to move to Kenya or to Guatemala or India or any of those different places, every single one of them has that verse like laminated and put in their wallet or their purse. It's what they plaster on their newsletters because it's the missionary verse. Revivals have been started from this verse. Movements like Evangelism Explosion have been started because of this verse. And so it's easy for us to see it and go, well, that's for the missionaries. And what happens, I think, easily for us or can be, is that we can kind of become inoculated to what Jesus has actually communicated and what he's actually calling us to. Inoculated to the call on my life, on your life. Because what we're really looking for is the big thing. We're waiting for someone to be called to the next Billy Graham or waiting for the next big mission movement. And so we hear, go therefore and make disciples. We say, well, that's not me. And even if you don't fit into this category, and even if you don't believe that, and even if you don't fall into that temptation, the reality of it is that most of us, we're just a mix of average, normal, everyday Joes, aren't we? Some of us are introverts, some of us are extroverts. Some of us, we have our jobs, we have our health concerns, we have our families, we go home thinking about the meals that we're gonna make and what we're gonna cook. And the reality of it is that a lot of times when we think about what does this going actually mean for us as just average everyday people, we go, well, even if I think that that's for me, I really have no idea exactly what going entails. I don't really know what going looks like. What does it entail in the day-to-day of our lives? Go where? Like, if you're not telling me to move to India, what does that mean? Like, go where? Do what exactly? What do I need to know? What do I need to do? In many ways, I don't think it's because we as the church don't want to participate. I think a lot of us and many of us do want to participate in this calling to go and make disciples. But the reality of it is we don't know where to start. Because we have our day-to-day lives, and you're taking kids to school and practices, and you just get buried in all that stuff, and you go, like, how do I do this? How am I faithful to this call? And I think the other part of it is the church hasn't done a very good job of equipping and leading people to understand how they can participate in this. And I think one of the challenges is that we go all the way back to the beginning of this sermon series, where we recognize that for many in the church, we've divided this idea up that there's the goers and the senders. Remember we talked about that? That there's the goers and the senders. And so we think, well, it's their job. It's the clergy's job, the pastor's job, it's the missionary's job to be the ones who go, to give, to proclaim. My job is to come into the church and grow. My job is to come into the church and send, maybe to bring people to Darren or to one of the elders that they could evangelize them or make disciples of them. But my job is to just come and sit and listen. And that's not the case. In fact, isn't it fascinating? When you really think about it, most of the early church didn't leave their homes and families. Most of the early church, they lived their lives as unique and set apart people in the context of where they lived. Most of them didn't leave the square mile in which they were born, right? Because they didn't have cars and boats and airplanes. And it's easy for us to look at the Pauls and the Barnabases and the Peters and the Matthews and the Johns and be like, man, that's what it means. In reality, no, the church grew and God used ordinary people in the church like you and me to grow the church. And the reason why I love this text in Colossians is because Paul is writing to a people where he's calling them to walk in a way that pleases the Lord. And while we absolutely, like we talked about last week, that does entail us being a holy people, a pure people, a people who don't walk in sin, it also means that we are to take proactive efforts to be the ones who bear fruit in every good work. Every good work. And so what Paul is calling us to, and he's reminding us, is as believers, we are to seek to do good works. Now, we remember that bearing fruit is going to come out of abiding in Christ, amen? Not in our abilities, not in the things that we do. As we grow and understand his will and his heart, and then as we actually begin to shift our lives and walk in a way that is aligned with him. But at the same time, we are to seek good works. But what good works? I mean, this is one of the reasons why we even gather together, isn't it? Look at Hebrews 10. We talked about this a few weeks. Verse 24 says, let us consider when we gather together how to stir one another to good works. So are you stirring one another to good works? What good works? As you gather together, how do you stir each other on? What are you stirring each other on? What are you stirring your kids to? What good works are we talking about? Which good works are we talking about? I want to start just as before we jump into what I think the good works are. You're not going to get a list today. You're not going to get a list today of like, here's all the things that you need to check off to be faithful to abiding into the good works that God has called you to. That's not the point here. Nor is it this aim to please him, an aim to please him out of fear or duty, but an aim to please him out of love. Amen? Like, this isn't out of a desire to do good works. In other words, I'm going to be nice to this person over here because I want to keep God happy with me. That's not what we do it. We do it because I want to be nice to this person over here because God has been loving to me and because I love him and because it's his heart. We want to align ourselves with his heart as a reflection of Jesus's heart. Good works, as he defines it, should be what we are seeking to engage in as his people. In fact, let's not forget that Jesus is the visible heart of the Father for us. Amen? And what did we see in the life of Jesus when he was here? Good works. Look at John chapter 10, verse 32. This is what Jesus says. He says, I have shown. So you want to know what good works are? He has shown many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me? Which is a fascinating question, right? In other words, if we want to see what the things are that we should be accomplishing or seeking to do, the good works that we should be doing, we have nowhere else to look but Jesus. He is the one who has done them. So what is his heart? What are some of the good works that he has done? Well, let's just look at them. He healed the sick. He was compassionate to the hurting. Grace to those who didn't deserve it. He's self-sacrificing love to those around him. He sought the lost. He proclaimed salvation and hope, and that's the foundation of all of his good works. Amen? Like, he didn't just feed the hungry or heal the sick. He healed the sick and told them the good news of who he was and told them the good news of his kingdom. Adopting the fatherless, weren't we all for the fatherless before we were adopted into his kingdom? Feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the prisoner, loving the unlovable, forgiving his enemy, being the loving neighbor to those around. See, just looking at this list, you can begin to see what a life that seeks to please the Lord begins to look like, right? What a life full of good works begins to look like. This, brothers and sisters, is the kingdom come. He's calling us to walk in a way that pleases him. And I want you to hear me very, very carefully. This is not a social gospel. And if you don't know what that term means, it means that I don't need to be worried about that the gospel in itself is about seeking justice, that the gospel in and of itself is about doing good works. No. The gospel is what transforms, is what changes us, and the good works come out of that. Like, you have to do both and. Like, you serve and love and do these things with the gospel, and when we take that part of it away, it becomes the social gospel. But a people transformed by the gospel, who accomplish these good works for the sake of the glory of their Father. But I think at least for me, I know for a lot of us too, we can approach this in the wrong way. I know for myself, as I came to faith and I started walking with the faith, I kind of began to think of this idea of good works like an employee thinks of it from a boss. Well, here's my boss, and he's told me all these things that I need to do, and so since he's told me to do it, that's my duty. That's what I need to do to be faithful, to make him happy. But that's not this at all. Like, that's not who we are called to be. This is to be more like a dad who loves fishing, where the son or the daughter says, I want to go fishing with the dad. And then over time, they begin to love fishing. They begin to learn fishing. They begin to desire to go fishing because they want to be with their dad, because it's something that's done out of love. I hate fishing, but nonetheless, you see my point, right? Like, the desire for us as the people of God to be the people who do the good works that Jesus did, because that's where he is. Because that's what stirs his heart, because it's what he pleases his heart. Not like an employee who's been like, all right, I gotta be nice to people around me because that's what Jesus told me to do. But like a son who has learned the heart of the Father, who has learned the love of the Father and who wants to walk in that way. What a beautiful thing. The desire to seek his ways, to walk in his path. This is such an important aspect for our lives. This isn't a calling for the missionary, although that comes out of this. This isn't a calling for just the pastor, although that comes out of this. This is a calling of the ordinary. This is the going of the ordinary. Listen, the reality of it is, most of the people in this room, you don't likely have a seminary degree. I'm going to step out on a limb and say that none of us in this room are Paul or Peter. I know I certainly am not, but each of us has the Spirit of God in us. Each of us who have put our faith in Jesus Christ is being renewed by the Spirit of God in us. Each of us has the King reigning in our lives as we confess him to be Lord, amen? And each of us should be excitedly looking for areas to walk in his ways, to walk in the things that please him. One of the things I love about Jesus, one of the things that's striking about Jesus when you think about it, is here you have the King of the universe who needed nothing, who had everything, who sat in heaven. He stepped into this mess and he had eyes to see. He had eyes to see. Jesus walked in and he saw the hurting. He saw the broken. He didn't turn his eyes from it. How easy is it for us to turn our eyes from the broken and the hurting and the things that are ugly and just hard in this world? Like, we want to turn our eyes from that stuff because we don't like to look at it. Jesus looked right into it and he stepped into it and brought healing and brought the kingdom of God. Aren't you glad Jesus had eyes to see? I think one of the first things for us to think about is to ask the question, do we have eyes to see? Do we have the eyes that Jesus had to see the hurting and the brokenness? Because you can't step into the good works he's called you to if you don't have eyes to look around you and to see where the kingdom needs to come. Where you can be the hands and the feet of Jesus to the lives of others. I'll never forget, a friend of ours was talking about taking a team of young kids to New York to do an outreach. And it said that the kids at the first night were just kind of appalled and baffled because they watched all the New Yorkers just going about their day-to-day lives, and they were literally stepping over homeless people as if they weren't even on the street. And they were like, how could anybody do this? But isn't that all of our tendency? Like, we just get used to it. We just go about our day. We just run to what we need to do, and we're stepping over the hurting all the time. We're stepping right past the people that are broken, right past the people that need Jesus Christ the most. See, we're to be the people, the ordinary people of God, that have the eyes of Jesus Christ to look at the broken and to walk in the ways that he walks. Matthew Henry, commentator, wrote this on Colossians. I'm just going to read it and I'll explain some of it. It's a little bit difficult, but I think it's really important. He says, observe, all who are designed for heaven hereafter are prepared for heaven now. So here's what Matthew Henry is saying. He said, if you are designed for heaven, then you're prepared for heaven now. You begin to become a vessel for heaven in the lives of people right now. You are the kingdom come in the lives of people right now. And maybe not fully, but partially, very much the way Jesus was. And he goes on to say, as those who live and die unsanctified or unset apart go out of the world with their hell about them. So stop. Think about what that means. The unsanctified, the non-believing, the people who are following the enemy, they step out of their houses every day bringing the same hell that is inside of them. The same hurt and betrayal and brokenness, they bring it out and they carry it with them everywhere they go. We see this every day, don't we? We see people living out of the brokenness. That's what Matthew Henry is saying. But now listen to what he says about us, those who are sanctified, those who are set apart, renewed. They go out of the world with their heaven about them. Those who have the inheritance of sons have the education of sons and the disposition of sons. You are carrying heaven everywhere you go because heaven is in you through the Spirit of God. Because you have been called to be image bearers of Jesus, to be conformed into the likeness of Jesus. And so everybody who meets you in some respects is meeting a part of the body of Jesus himself. So oftentimes we make this too complicated and we forget that we are just the people of God going about our lives, going about our days. This is what Matthew Henry is saying. That we are to have the same heart that drove Jesus to step out of heaven for the lost. And that should be slowly appearing in our lives day in and day out. I just want us to think about what it means for us to grow in these different ways. As you consider what God has for you, don't miss the glory of verse 11 in Colossians chapter 1. Let me just read it. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. You can be strengthened, brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter where you come from. You can be strengthened by what? Some power? That's not what it says. All power. All power according to what? According to your might, according to your gifts, your wisdom, your intellect, your knowledge, your biblical understanding. That's not what it says. According to his might. This is us as the people of God. We go out not as necessarily the Pauls and the Barnabases, but as the Darrens and the Isaacs and the Bobs and the Karens and the whoever we are, infused with the Spirit of God in our lives. Like, we go out as the people of God. There's no excuse for any of us to not take steps in accordance with his heart because of fear. Because of what is lacking in us. We all have things that are lacking in us, amen? Like, and so often what happens is that we wanna wait until we're ready. We wanna wait until we're right. But one of the beauties of the gospel is that the glory and the strength of God shines oftentimes most in what we are lacking and in our weaknesses. What a beautiful part of the gospel that is, isn't it? There's no excuse for us. We will always be lacking. But in him, There's no lack of strength. There's no lack of wisdom. There's no lack of power. There's no lack of might, no lack of words or provision, because we have been delivered as the people of God. From what? The domain of darkness. An ordinary army of God's people doing his good works with his heart and his power. Amen? With the gospel. Do you want that? Do we? Do we want to be an ordinary army of God's people doing his good works with his heart, his power, and his gospel? Like, just think about what this looks like. We so make this more complicated than it needs to be. Think of Zacchaeus. What did Zacchaeus do? Remember the wee little man who climbed up in a tree? Some of you know the song. Like, Zacchaeus, a sinner of sinners, tax collector, comes into contact with Jesus, and the first thing he does is the good works of selling everything he has and giving it. Lydia in Philippi, a seller of purple goods. We know she was rich, and what did she do? She opened up her house for the church. This is the welder who sees a need in Kenya and just uses his talents and gifts to help serve people who need it, to provide jobs, the good works of Jesus Christ. It's the family who looks at the foster child and says, I don't have a lot, but I have a house. It's the mother who, as she goes about her day, makes an extra portion of chicken noodle soup to give to the widow next door who doesn't know Jesus Christ. It's the single young man or woman who starts a Bible study on their campus or gives a Saturday to paint the nursery in their church. It's the couple who sees the injustice of kids growing up without the knowledge of a financial system, only to see that they're preyed upon by fast cash businesses who say, no, I'm going to step in. I'm going to give of my time to teach them the way that God calls us to use money so they don't fall into these traps. These are simple things. These are people even within our own congregation that have stepped into these types of things, not doing these grandiose things where they sell everything they have and move to India, but doing the ordinary day-to-day work of being about the good works of Jesus Christ. They have eyes to see and to step into those things, to walk with the mother who finds out she's pregnant and doesn't have a husband and doesn't know what to do, to walk with the woman who made the mistake of something like an abortion and love them with the love of Jesus Christ and lead them to the only one who can take away that guilt and shame. See, brothers and sisters, it's the ordinary people of God who go to school and go to the hospitals and Spirit and Cessna and McDonald's and Starbucks and Target and Walmart, carrying heaven into those places. But so often we don't, because we don't have eyes to see. And because we think we're not ready, because we think we don't have power within us to do it, because we think we don't have the degree, we don't have all the answers, we don't know what we should do. Church, if we get nothing else out of it, I just pray and hope that at the very least, you would see that what God has called all of us into is to be a people who seek to be the same people that know the heart of their Lord and seek to be about the good works that he was about in the power of his strength and his might, not yours and not mine. All of this while we are looking around us with open eyes, open hearts of love, praying and proclaiming the good news of the King and his kingdom. Being willing to say to a stranger and stick yourself out maybe and say, hey, sometime I'd just love to hear more about your story. Can we grab coffee or breakfast? Because you see the hurt in their eyes or the longing in their eyes. It's easy for us to oversimplify it and simply go, well, I'm going to be about going and making disciples, and so I'm going to put a track in my pocket. Or to overcomplicate it, which is, I want to be about going and making disciples, and so I need to go to seminary and learn all there is to know about the Bible. None of those are bad. Those are good things. But more importantly, it's about the people of God living like Jesus with the people they rub shoulders with every day. That's how the gospel moves forward. And if we want to have the expectations that God is going to see and bring about many people into his kingdom here in Wichita, it's not on my shoulders, it's on yours and mine, right? It's all of us going into every sphere of our lives, being kingdom vessels. This is our calling. And I wish I could move on to the next week, because we're going to get to share a lot of specifics about how we're going to seek to do this as the people of God here at Central, how we're going to try to lock arms to engage this in corporate ways and in ways within our Gospel Life Encounter classes, but then also encourage each other in terms of our individual lives. So you have to come back next week to see that. But the fact of the matter is, brothers and sisters, this is our calling. This is who we are. To stir each other onto these kinds of good works about our day-to-day lives. I close with this. As we increase in the knowledge of his will, as we increase in lives that are pleasing to him, as we increase in the good works that he's called us to do, empowered by his Spirit, which bear fruit, we will also increase in the knowledge of God. That's what verse 10 tells us. The Greek word used there is a full and a complete knowledge, a definite and a whole knowledge. And the fact of the matter is today, we all have a choice to walk out of here seeing the world and our purposes and our identities in the same way that we did when we walked in. Or the opportunity for us to seek to go and proactively pray that God would give us Jesus' eyes to step into whatever he calls you to today and tomorrow and Monday, and then we get to celebrate it as the people of God, right? So for some of you, he may call you to adopt a child from China. For some of you, he may call you to pay for the groceries of the single mom that's standing behind you and then share the gospel with them. For some of you, it might mean going to coffee with someone. For some of you, it might be becoming a mentor in the public school system. For some of you, it might be mean that you're a teacher in the public school system. For some of you, I don't know what it is. We could go all day because everybody in this room is unique and different, and God has placed you in a place, and there is no age, there is no position where you cannot be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ where he has put you and in the boundaries he has put you. And so church, let us be a going people, amen? For the sake of the gospel and the glory of our Lord. And we can clap for that, that's okay. We should clap for that because of this, verse 13. Because he's delivered us from the domain of darkness. We aren't there. They are. Because he's delivered us from the domain of darkness and he has transferred us from the kingdom or into the kingdom of his beloved Son. We have the redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Just let that come out of you. And be a church who seeks to be about the good works that he's called us to. So three questions that I simply want you to practically ask yourself today. I want you to write them down. Pray about them in the coming weeks as I challenge us, as we all are challenged towards this, is one, who in your life right now needs to see the heart of Jesus through you? Who? Is there a neighbor? Is there a coworker? Is there a friend? Is there a family member? A son or a daughter? Who needs to see the heart of Jesus through you? Who needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ through you? You. Maybe it's someone in your retirement home. Kids, maybe it's one of your friends in your classes. Who needs to hear? And how can you practically step into that and be the hands and feet of Jesus, doing the good works to meet a need and proclaim the gospel? Second, and this leads to what I just said, is what good work has he called you to step into very specifically? Foster care, orphan care, caring for a family who knows that somebody is in the hospital with COVID, loving your neighbor who's a doctor and is exhausted and worn out, giving a book to a teacher who you know is walking through some really difficult stuff right now, Who and what good work has he called you to step into practically this week? And finally is this, are you willing to pray for his power and his might to walk in a manner that's pleasing to him? See, here's the thing. I genuinely believe that if we pray that God would give us eyes to see, he will give us eyes to see. I genuinely believe if we pray that he would give us strength to be bold, to step in, he will give us strength to be bold. I genuinely believe that if you pray that he would give you his words, not yours, not Darren's, not any of this, but his words, he will give you his words, just like he has always been faithful to do throughout history. So will you pray, Lord, help me to see the needs around me. Help me to see the places I can step into. Help me to see the lost souls that are in darkness around me and begin to pray that prayer. I believe that if we do, God will begin to do a mighty thing through his people for his name and for his glory. I want to turn our attention to communion. And as we do that, I want to read again this last two verses of Colossians 1. We celebrate this moment right now. And we take out these cups filled with this little juice and this little wafer that we do every single week as a remembrance of what God has done for us, a remembrance of the reality that because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness. Amen? He has transferred us to the kingdom of his Son. We do have redemption. We do have forgiveness of sins. Every good work that we as the people of God do comes out of the truth that is represented at this table in this moment. Because of the death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are the people of God. We are the disciples of God. We are the followers of Jesus Christ. And so I encourage you at this moment now to now pray with me before we take of this bread and to examine your heart. Take a moment as we pray before we partake. Are there sins you need to confess to the Lord? Is there rebellion in your heart where you've refused to walk in ways that are pleasing to him that you need to lay before him before you come to this table? Is there anger against a brother that you have and hold within your heart, or sister that you need to go to them and deal with it? Are you discouraged? Are you faint-hearted in your life right now? I want us to pray for just a moment and be still and come before the Lord, being mindful of those things, being mindful of what he has done. Father, we come to this moment right now, joyfully partaking in the bread that reminds us that you stepped out of heaven, that your body would be broken for us. And we partake in the juice, which reminds us that you stepped out of heaven because you saw our need and you were willing to let your blood be spilt that ours wouldn't. We have been redeemed. Father, I pray for those this morning that are struggling, those that are faint-hearted, those that are discouraged, that you would encourage their hearts, that you would give them assurance if they are in your family by the work of your Spirit, to know that if they come and confess, your word is true when it says that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. If we run to you in repentance, we will never find anything but a Father who has his arms open. So we come in this moment to take of this bread. And so church, take of the bread and drink of the juice, the blood of our Savior, and remember the work that he's done for us. And as we close our time, we're going to sing a song of celebration, a song of remembering of who God is. And I want to invite our prayer counselors and elders and pastors up to the front, because as we come to this time, as we come to this table, I genuinely believe the Spirit of God can reveal things in our hearts, can press us. And so if you need prayer, if you want to celebrate something in your life, if you need to confess a sin, if you need to ask someone to help you walk with someone else, or you need just to pray with someone about what it looks like to be someone who steps into the good works and you feel the fear there, whatever that looks like, we want to pray with you. It's a beautiful thing to walk with others. And so as we sing the song, our prayer counselors, our pastors and elders are available here to pray with you. Father, stir our hearts to good works because you did good works for us. Because you have redeemed us. Father, may we be a people of the gospel. May we be image bearers of Jesus. May we be an ordinary army that goes out full of the love of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that this morning as we finish our time with worship, that we would have our eyes fixed fully upon you and that you would stir our hearts to good works this morning. We pray these things in your name.